You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Money is not everything. When people come to trust in money, it's not worth anything.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, give us good sense about material things, that we may use them to your glory and for the benefit of others. Help us to set our hearts not on things that are seen and that perish, but upon you and upon the things that are often not seen, but are eternal. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Today I'm going to talk to you about something that preachers are not supposed to talk about. Money. Preachers are not supposed to know anything about money. Some people even think that the mere mention of money by a preacher is a sure sign that he has forgotten the meaning of the ministry. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending upon how you look at it, the Lord Jesus himself did not conform to this stereotype of what a minister is supposed to be. Someone has said that the Lord talked about money more than about any other single subject. Whether this is true or not, he certainly did talk about money a great deal. Evidently, he found out what other people have discovered, too. You can tell what a person is made of by the way he or she makes use of money. In fact, you can tell what they're made of by the way in which they think about money. Ask someone to give money for a good cause, and you will soon find out what he is made of. Jesus was approached by a man in a crowd who said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide with me the property our father left us." Pastors are often invited to settle family problems like that. Jesus answered him, "Man, who gave me the right to judge or to divide the property between you two?" Then he went on to say to them all, "Watch out and guard yourselves from every kind of greed, because no matter how rich a person is, a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things he possesses." That's plain talk, plain enough for anybody to understand. Yet people persist in the idea that a man's life does indeed consist of the abundance of things he possesses. We talk about a man's worth, and we're generally talking about the size of his bank account. "Actually," said the Lord, "a man's worth does not depend on the size of his bank account at all, nor does the worth of a woman depend on the amount she inherited from her husband. The worth of a boy or girl has nothing to do with the amount of his or her weekly allowance. Money is not everything. The fact is that when people come to trust in money, it's not worth anything. When money is everything, life becomes nothing. That's what the Lord said. A person's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he or she possesses. On the other hand, I've often heard money referred to as filthy lucre. It's a biblical expression. which describes not so much the dirt on the money as the dirt in the lives of people willing to sell their souls for money. Money itself is neither filthy nor clean. Money itself is neither hot nor cold. Hot money is the stuff people have stolen or gotten by wicked means. The attitude of people and the actions of people make money either good or bad. Money is just sweat converted into cash. It's a convenient way to carry the hours around with you. Hours spent very often in toil, whether that toil is brain work or hand work. With money, people buy things that they need, want, and enjoy. It builds factories, and factories provide jobs. Money is not to be despised, as if it were inherently evil. Money can do a lot. There's also a lot that it cannot do. The best things in life cannot be bought for money. Sometimes people live to 70 or 80 years of age before they find that out. Money cannot buy love. People have tried that, but it always fails. The late Shah of Iran, despite his billions of dollars, could not buy good health. Money cannot buy happiness. People strive to achieve happiness that way, but they always fail. A 20-mile stretch of lakefront along Chicago's urban North Shore is one of the richest sections in the United States. This area is also known as the Suicide Belt. In a recent 17-month period, 28 teenagers in this area, this earthly paradise, took their own lives. Things like that happen when people have put their trust in money or in the things money can buy and then find out that it doesn't work. Money fails. And what have you got left if you've put your whole trust in money? What have you got left when the money becomes cheap and sometimes even worthless? What have you got left when Mount St. Helens blows off and blows your place away? What have you got left when the rains come and the floods flow and there's nothing left but the sand on which you built that house, whose foundation was money? I've noticed that God usually entrusts people with as much money as they can handle. Sometimes it seems as if he drowns them in their own money. He also gives people as much health as they can handle. Sometimes he lays them down on a sickbed to remind them that health is a gift and that he is still God. A man said to me one time, after he had lain on his sickbed for a long time, "This was the best thing that ever happened to me." He found that out. Contrary to the television commercial, which says that when you've got your health, you've got everything, this man found out that when you've got your health, you still don't have everything. When you've got your money, you still don't have everything. When you put your trust in money, you don't have anything. Possession of things like money should give people a sense of responsibility, just as the possession of children ought to give parents a sense of responsibility. But often it does not. People don't feel accountable for any of the gifts of God. They take them and use them and go on their way without a single speck of thanksgiving or even a little smidgen of responsibility. It's the way of a world that regards money as the greatest good and makes fun of people who call attention to the fact that money is not everything. Money does not even spell security. Thieves still break through and steal. They pick on people with money. Willie Sutton, the master bank robber of the United States, when he was asked why he always robbed banks, once remarked, "Because that's where the money is." Money can be stolen. It can be reduced in value by inflation, and it can be destroyed altogether in great disasters, like war. Money tempts people to do all kinds of evil. St. Paul said, "The love of money is a root of every kind of evil." It is estimated that commercial firms in the United States alone lose $20 to $30 billion a year in the form of cash, merchandise, and wasted time on the part of their own employees. People sell their souls for money. They even sell the souls of other people for money. When problems arise in the home or government or even in the church, they almost invariably involve money. Money is one of the chief causes of friction in the homes of the world. More family fights and breakups occur because of money than because of any other single thing. Greed has been at the bottom of every war. Greed is responsible for all the bribery which has corrupted people in even the highest places. In their greed, people kill each other, wreck their economies, and destroy their wealth. Even the Son of God was betrayed by one of his friends for 30 pieces of silver. On the other hand, I know people, both poor and rich, who give money generously to support community organizations, to the enterprises that help people, institutions like the school or church, which must have money in order to do their work in the world. Even those institutions can be corrupted when they think of themselves as money raisers rather than as channels to bring the efforts of people who have been gifted by God to bear upon the lives of other people who need to know the love of God, or even just to have bread on the table. Money talks, and the Lord often talked about it. There was the widow who gave two little coins, and the Lord said that she had given a lot more than all of the rich people had given of their bounty. She, he said, gave her whole living. Money talks. It talks loudly. It tells what we consider important in life, and also what we regard as trivial. It tells a great deal about what we think of our families and our goals in life. The way you spend your money tells people pretty clearly which God you serve and which idol you worship. If money tells you so much about people, how can a preacher avoid talking about it? Could the Lord avoid talking about it? How can you avoid thinking about it and knowing something about it? The Bible has many references to money. If I asked you one of them, you would probably reply, money is the root of all evil. Actually, what the apostle said was, the love of money is a root of every kind of evil. Every kind of evil can come from the love of money, and it often does. If money talks and tells you something about yourself, something very important about yourself, how can you walk around it and say, this is one of the little compartments of my life that I keep absolutely to myself? People will tell you how much they paid for their house and even how much they paid for their last suit of clothes, but they won't tell you how much money they've got in the bank. That's private. It's so precious that you can't possibly mention it to anybody. And some men don't even mention it to their wives because somebody might take advantage of you. On all the coinage and currency of the United States, there appears a little motto, In God We Trust. It is ironic that most people never even think of God when it comes to money. That's something which belongs to them. God has no part in it at all. Who is the real God in this case? The creator of heaven and earth, from whom comes every good and perfect gift? Or the money itself, which has become so important that God fades into the background of the picture? Jesus teaches the very opposite of what most people believe. They believe in money. Money is the god of the majority of people in the world. People will do almost anything for money. Jesus teaches that money and material things are on the lowest level of priority for anyone who has real life. Money is not unimportant, and possessions are not unimportant. When it comes to priority, however, they are not anywhere near first place for anyone who has given God the first order of priority. Talk about God doesn't mean much to people who have no conception of the priority that God has given to them. Let me put it to you personally. God has put you on the first order of his priorities. Whatever happens, he wants you to be saved. He doesn't want you to go down the drain, as the world is going down the drain under its own power. He doesn't want you to be lost in that great mass that is pushing and shoving on its way to hell. The world has a splitting headache, and so do the people in it. You may have such a bad headache right now that you can hardly think straight. You may also have a severe heartache, which robs you of the joy of life. Nevertheless, God loves you. You may think of yourself as about 1 inch tall right now. Others ignore you. You feel bad about yourself. Nevertheless, God loves you. You are precious in his sight. He doesn't want you to go the way of this dying world. He wants you to be saved from all of that and to have life. This life is in his Son. For your life, the Son of God died. He gave his life for you. He paid the price of the sin that separates you from God. He took the sorrow which keeps you from looking up. He took it all into his own heart at that moment when he died on his cross for the sins of the world. He died for you. You don't deserve to be loved, but that doesn't stop God from loving you. God so loved the world, including you, that he gave his only Son just for you, that whosoever, that includes you, believes in him will not go the way of this perishing world, but will have life that can truly be called everlasting. As St. Peter once said, the Son of God has redeemed us to God by his blood, not with gold or silver, not with dollar bills or pesos or marks or francs or pounds, but with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. That's got to be the most precious thing in the whole world. The next most precious is the life that he gives to those who believe in him. Don't trust in money, said Jesus. Trust in me. He knew what he was talking about. He experienced life as it is. And he experienced death as it is. He experienced resurrection as only God can give it. He is Lord, with a name that God has given him, a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Trust in me, said Jesus, and trust my Father for everything. Look at the birds of the air, he said. When you look at them, remember your Creator. When you look at the flowers of the field and how God has clothed them, remember the God who loves you. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. The Lord is not talking to the wind. He's talking to people like you and me. He wants you and me to look up to him, to trust him, and to obey him. Jesus always talked about money. He talked about it to his own people, and he told them to use their money wisely. Use your money the way you use your time and your abilities, wisely. Use it not just for your own needs, but also for the needs of others. Do as much good as you can with your money, to as many people as you can, in as many ways as you can. You brought nothing into this world, and it's absolutely certain that you're not going to carry anything out. Use your money wisely. Use your money cheerfully. Take the wraps off your money. Let it give you joy. You need God's power for everything. You don't have to have your arm twisted in order to give to others. Give as God has given to you. That way of life brings joy. You can even get fun out of money by surprising people with it. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. I'm not here to tell you to give to any particular cause. This broadcast depends on the gifts of people, but I'm not asking you right now to give to anything in particular. For the health of your own soul, give cheerfully to the Lord, and you will be the beneficiary. If you have just a little, give a little. If you have a lot, give a lot. That's the plan of the Lord, and it's totally fair. A man's life does not consist in the number of things that he possesses. Break out of that habit of greed, which is based on the idea that a man's or woman's life depends on the number of things that he or she acquires and possesses. Break out into the free air of God's grace, where he gives everything freely and rejoices to see his people giving freely, without constraint, but willingly. It's a marvelous way of life. It is life. As you see life in Jesus Christ, as you receive life in Jesus Christ, and as you live life with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus, that's life, my friend. That's life. Amen.